just made myself some nice slices of toast.
Oh, good for you. I haven't had breakfast yet.
What do you mean you haven't had breakfast? You need to get on it. Breakfast, most important meal of the day, Cress.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have it. just not had it yet. Because I've got this to do.
I've got toast and marmalade, and I've got a nice little cup of tea on the go.
Oh,
and
you can
I
tell.
Am ready. What do you mean you can tell?
I was going to say, you can tell this is a UK Eurovision podcast, can't you?
Yeah.
We're just talking about our cups of tea.
I know. Well, you know, you've got to set the scene, haven't you? There is a lot to talk about in this episode, because lots happening in the next few days that we wanted to draw your attention to on this episode of Nul Poir.
Yes, indeed. Even though Eurovision is not on this year, we've still got plenty of Eurovision events, which is great. Still celebrating the current crop of Eurovisioners. So, as Martin was saying, we've got a little bit of Eurobash coming up, and we've also got the Eurovision NI Awards. And as you probably know, because you're such a keen listener, we did speak to both of the people behind these events that are going on, and we're going to play you a little bit of what they had to say about the awards or the events that are going on this weekend, just so you know what's going on, you get up to date with what's happening.
Yeah, we absolutely are. That's to come. Also, we're going to be doing our world famous now, award-winning, soon to be award-winning. Feature, Trivia Time! And it's me doing Trivia Time this week, and I think you're going to be astounded. I think you're going to be amazed by the fact that I have for you about Eurovision's Gone By.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, well, you should be. So that is also to come. I wanted just to quickly say a little word about the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, because I was looking back at what we were doing around a year ago, because it's not long until we are going to be celebrating 1 year of this podcast, which is very exciting.
1 year.
So I was looking back and seeing what we were doing about a year ago, and we were getting ready to chat a little bit about the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, which usually happens in... Is it October or November?
No, it's November.
It is November. So not too long until that happens. And I was just wondering what you were thinking about how it might be taking place this year and the kind of buzz around it, which doesn't seem to be as much as there used to be.
Well, of course, we know the way they're going to film it is it's going to be very much each participant filming in their own studio in their own country. So that kind of... that does kill the buzz a little bit, doesn't it? Because there's not a chance for people to go to the contest. So I suppose similarly, if that happens with the normal Eurovision, that would be the same case. But, you know, people are still mentioning we've got the 13 countries that are taking part. And it's weird when you say that, looking on last year, Martin, that's what we were talking about. It kind of makes me feel a bit nostalgic, to be honest, because we had no idea what was to come.
No.
And we were just having a little giggle over what was going on with Junior Eurovision, not a care in the world, carefree. It does feel like sort of a forgotten age, really.
It does, doesn't it? Maybe we should get Ewan on again, who does a lot of the...
Ewan Spence.
We should get him on, who does a lot of the commentary for the Junior Eurovision Song Contest on the radio and also the YouTube coverage that they do. He's been involved with that as well. I wonder, it'd be interesting to talk to him, you know, a year on and with a completely... I mean, we had no idea this would be happening a year ago, and it'd be interesting to get his thoughts 12 months on. So maybe we'll get to that. Anyway, that is in a month's time. What's happening over the next few days? Well, as Laura mentioned, a couple of events. Both of them are virtual this year. We were hoping we would have been going, hopefully, to Belfast around this time to join in Eurovision NI Awards, which is the big bash that they have in Belfast to celebrate the Eurovision Song Contest. And also the Eurobash itself would have been taking place as well the same weekend. Now, I suppose that the light here at the end of the tunnel is that we would have had to have picked one before.
Oh,
and this time... We can attend both because they're both happening virtually.
That's the positive spin on it, isn't it? Yes.
Yes.
So Eurobash, if you're a UK fan, Eurobash is the OGAE UK sort of party they have for Eurovision every year. As you said, it was going to be a proper get together. It was going to be in Bristol. They're still holding it, which is nice. And it does look like there's lots of interesting stuff going on. They're going to have a couple of guests who are going to take part. They're going to have a chat with them. They're going to have Niamh Kavanagh, who, of course, won for Ireland in 1993. They've got some other guests as well. Anna Salena, who represented Estonia at the 2002, in fact, contest. So they've got a couple of guests. They've got an interview with our favourite guy, Jono Lassand.
Yes!
Which we all live forgotten. For.
Jon Olesen.
So they've got some nice stuff going on. Obviously, there's a disco and there's also
sorry,
a quiz.
Sorry, so, what do you mean, yeah. Obviously, there's a yeah. disco? It's a virtual event.
Yeah, well, obviously, there's a disco.
How's that going to work?
It's Eurovision. Everyone, dance at the screen. Come on, oh, euphoria.
Oh, have you ever heard anything more 2020?
I know.
Oh, and people dancing at a screen.
I know. Oh. Furiously dancing at a screen. Everyone. I mean, I've been invited to some Zoom dance parties, Martin, and they're just awful. Just terrible. It's very sad. It just makes you just very sad at the whole.
Yeah. Nothing worse. There is nothing worse.
Nothing worse. Nothing
anyway,
worse.
Look, we're not saying that this event's going to be
far
from it. Sorry. Just to clarify, we don't like the idea of dancing at a screen, but the event's good.
And the event will be good.
Can you explain to me, please, the thinking behind something on the agenda called Midnight Chips?
Yeah, so I think this is something they have every year. And obviously, normally it's a bit more of an event when you're actually out somewhere and they all get in chips, basically, for midnight. And I think it's quite a British thing of like, let's all have a chippy at midnight. I mean, I'm surprised there's not a kebab in there as well. Maybe that'll be next year's version, but yeah, obviously because it's virtual now, everyone has to get their own chips.
So that's that. Anyway, look, we've been talking about it a little bit. We are going to attend online at least some of it. I mean, we might not go to the disco, but we might attend some of it, maybe the quiz or something like that, because we want to attend both events, you see. But before we tell you a little bit about the Eurovision NI Awards, let me bring you a conversation that Laura and I had with Alistair Rendell, who runs the OE... What is it?
No. OGAE UK. The OGAE. Come on. Sorry. There's only four vowels in there.
Four,
yes.
Oh, see, you had the upper hand for a moment and it's all gone pear-shaped. Anyway, he runs that fan organisation in the UK, the UK arm of it.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Oh, here's Alistair.
So it's due to take place in Bristol in the first weekend of October this year. It's not going to be on the same scale as previous years, and the hotel have already agreed we can roll over our main booking to next year, but we've still got the date set aside for this year. So once in a couple of months' time we know exactly what the rules are going to be around social distancing, we intend to have something. You know, if all else fails, there'll be a virtual Euro Bash, but there will be something. There's got to be a Euro Bash. It's the highlight of the year for many.
It's got to happen.
So that was Alistair Rendell from the OGAE UK. There you go, got it in one.
Well,
the official UK chapter of Eurovision fans, which you can join as well. So thanks for Alistair for that, and we'll be looking forward to a bit of Eurobash as well. But there's another event going on, which is the Eurovision NI Awards, which is the Northern Ireland Awards, and it's basically an event where they look back at the past Eurovision year. Obviously, they'll still be looking back at the artists and their songs, even though Eurovision didn't happen, and they give them some awards, some good, some bad.
And here is Nikki from Eurovision NI telling us all about it.
This year, it's kind of taken a bit of a hit. We're kind of making a bit of a momentum and, you know, growing and growing year on year. But just because you can't really have live events, we've just decided to take it on to Zoom this year. And really, as much as possible, give people a bit of a show. I think, though, it's going to obviously have to be a bit scaled back, just because we've decided to host the event for free. So anybody can attend on Zoom for free. We're not really making any revenue from that, so I can't see us really being in a position to hire any sort of performers to perform for us. But essentially, other than that, it's going to be the same. We're going to have the same categories. We're going to play a little snippet video of the nominees and who's nominated in each category, and then reveal the winners. And there'll be a few other bits and pieces sort of in between to break up, just rather than just be here's an award, here's who's won the award. We're going to have a bit of sort of content in between that sort of to break it up as well.
You were mentioning the nominees, so talk us a little bit through, obviously it's nominees from what would have been this year's Eurovision, but talk us through a little bit the categories, because I think it's important you do the best, as you said, and the worst. I think that's it's good that you've got both of them in there.
Yeah, so we kind of just embrace everything about Eurovision. So any sort of usual awards ceremony would have the likes of, you know, best male artist, best female artist, best group. So we have those, but then things are kind of unique to Eurovision as well. So we have, we did have the best staging, for example, because Eurovision is much a visual thing as it is something that you listen to. It's not just a song contest. It's, you know, what's presented on stage. But obviously it didn't happen this year. So that category has kind of been put on the back burner until next year. But even the likes of best video. So a lot of the Eurovision artists will create a video to accompany their song. So there's a category for that. And then we look really at the whole Eurovision season. So there's an award for best song from the national selection shows.
Okay.
So the ones that didn't make it to Eurovision, we kind of give them a bit of a foot up as well, you know, sort of to honour them. And then we like to also follow the careers of the artists after Eurovision.
Ah.
So we have one for best new song. So that's anybody who's represented their country at Eurovision and kind of what they've done in their career sort of after that as well. And then, like you said, there's also the worst categories. So we've done one for worst song. One that always gets me is worst lyrics, because like you might just listen to a song and just be like, oh yeah, that's a nice wee song. But whenever you drill down into the lyrics, some of them are absolutely ridiculous.
I feel so sorry for Nicky, because he's been talking about how he's been building up this event over a few years, and it had just started to really get a bit of a head of steam, and they had special guests and things were really, really going somewhere, and then this happens, and I feel it's a real shame. I mean, it's great that they're still able to do stuff and they're still able to put things on online, but it's such a shame.
Oh, completely. But we'll be there next year, Nicky. Don't you worry.
Don't you worry. And we're hopefully going to be there for a little bit this year as well. We are attending both events, and we'll be telling you all about them on the next episode of Nul Poir. If you had to pick where to spend two nights, where would you pick, Bristol or Belfast?
Oh, that's a good question, because actually they're both quite fun.
They are both quite fun.
Probably Belfast, but I mean, because I
based on what?
Based on that, I mean, I've been there before. I quite enjoyed it. There's quite a lot of different attractions to visit. Bristol obviously has some cool stuff going on, but Belfast for me. How about you?
Okay. I don't know. I think I'd probably pick Bristol, because I got some friends in Bristol who I'd probably quite like to see. So I'd do that. And it has got quite a nice, it's a little bit warmer. It's got quite a nice, it has got quite a nice sort of little harbour area.
Oh, Belfast, so
is Belfast good as well, though. Yeah, I know.
No, Belfast is quite a big harbour. Quite a famous one.
Luckily for us, we don't have to choose, because we can go to neither. So we're very excited.
What a lovely choice.
Yes, great. It's the best of none of the worlds.
Now, as you probably know, if you're an avid listener on Nul Poir, which of course you are, we have a special feature, because we are big Eurovision fans, myself, Laura and Martin here. But, you know, we still feel like there's lots we need to learn about it, that there's plenty of things we need to pick up about it. So we're bettering ourselves and finding out about the competition, and it's a little feature we like to call, what do we call it, Martin?
We call it Trivia Time!
And it will still be called that. So if you're annoyed with that, sorry, but that's name sticking now.
A lot of hate mail, a lot of hate mail. Here is trivia time for this week. And I'm going to be telling you a little fact about something from Eurovision history. And this one concerns the year 1974. Now, over the years, we have heard accusations levelled at some countries about whether or not they would show the Eurovision Song Contest that year. Perhaps for political reasons, there's been a lot levelled of accusations levelled at Russia, at the idea that they had maybe cut some elements of the song contest because they didn't agree with particular imagery that was shown, sometimes regarding gay rights, that sort of thing. And it's been one of those political things that's rumbled on and on. The EBU is very, very clear about it. If you are taking part in the Eurovision Song, if you are involved in the EBU, you have got to show the whole Eurovision Song Contest unedited, undoctored, unchanged in its pretty much entirety. I mean, you can break for adverts at certain points, but other than that, you've got to take the whole thing. So they won't have been very pleased with Italy back in 1974, who refused to broadcast the concert live because it objected. Wait for it. So what possible reason could there be for Italy not wanting to broadcast the 1974 contest? They objected to their own song.
What?
They hated their own song so much that they didn't want it heard in Italy.
What was the song?
The song was a song by Gigliola Cinquetti, who sung a song called "Sì," which means yes. And it was a really nice song about the singer's love for a man and an exhilaration when she finally said yes to him. You know, lovely love song. But the channel that broadcast it, State TV's RAI, thought that the word yes over and over and over again in the song, 16 times in fact, would maybe be suggesting to people that they should vote yes in the country's upcoming referendum on divorce.
Oh, so
they
were thinking, sakes.
They were thinking that if it was constantly yes, 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 yes,
yes, on divorce.
I'm changing my mind on what I was going to vote.
I don't know what it was, but after I watched that Eurovision Song Contest, suddenly I want a divorce.
Yep. So yeah, it refused to screen the contest until after the referendum. So they did show it, but they waited until after the referendum. Even when they showed it, they actually censored a lot of it and didn't show a lot of it for more than a month.
Well, you know what question I'm going to ask here, Martin?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just choose a different song?
Yeah, that would...
What a palaver to be like, well, we won't play the whole contest. It's like, well, why don't you just get rid of the song?
Or, here's an idea, change its title, which is exactly what they did. It actually became a big hit in the UK with the title Go. So they didn't even call it C. It got to, you know, quite high in the charts in the UK, but they called it Go, not C. And
it basically
failed to chart in Italy because no one had heard it.
That was very good.
I think that's a really good fact. That's a good one, isn't it? It's bonkers.
I think it does go to show that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, Eurovision's quite political and they're just talking about the voting. But actually, the entire contest and putting on of the contest is normally pretty political as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's against other countries, but sometimes it's within your own country.
Mm. Well, I mean, on a more serious note, there has been a lot in recent years, hasn't there, about LGBT rights and how they are portrayed. Eurovision has long had a sort of connection with the LGBT community and celebrates it. And there's been sort of growing tension, I feel, in between certain attitudes in certain parts of Europe and then maybe slightly more liberal attitudes in other parts of Europe. And there has been this friction for a little while. So much so that I think... Remember one of our first ever contests that we went to? I think it was... was it Vienna? Yeah, it was Vienna. And yeah. Something had happened in Russia that was, I think, some rules, some law had come into place which discriminated against gay people. And there was this huge kind of outpouring of solidarity at all the fan events that we went to. And there was a lot of rainbow flags that were being flown at the actual events. Russia got very, very angry about that indeed. Really, really cross. And then
they got booed.
Russia got booed. Absolutely. Russia got booed. Although, was that also to do with them invading Crimea? Anyway, they've been booed
not Crimea,
a few times.
Ukraine. Yeah.
So there's been quite a lot of reasons why people have booed Russia. But anyway, the point was, the next year they really kind of toughened up on what flags were allowed to be flown in the stadium to keep it non-political.
Yes,
but it just shows how even within Eurovision itself, politics can creep in.
Oh, for sure. People are right when they say it's a political event, but just perhaps not for the reasons they realise.
Well, there we go. That's another episode of Null Point done and dusted. Thank you so much for your company over the last little while. It's been good fun, I reckon. And I wonder if you're sitting there thinking, I'd love to be able to say something to that Laura and that Martin.
Hey.
I'd love to be able to share my thoughts, really give them a piece of my mind.
Oh.
Well, you can. And Cress has got all the details.
I do. I always do. So we're on Twitter. We're @PointNull. Someone else took the handle for Null Point. We are on Instagram, Null Point Podcast. We have an email. It's nullpointpodcast @gmail.com, baby, if you want to email us and tell us about, I don't know, what you're doing at the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Just, do you have midnight chips? What do you have at midnight? Tell us.
Oh, okay. Don't need to do those eyebrows. I don't think that helps. Yes, do get in contact. It'd be lovely to hear from you. Please subscribe as well. Tell your friends, leave a review, all of that sort of stuff. And we will see you next time here on Null Point.
Come on, Martin, let's have a dance.
Boom, boom, boom. A-rum, pom, pom. A-rum-pom-pom.
Yeah.
Dancing.
Dance at the screen.
Let's stop this.
Okay.